Reading from the Gospel of John. 6 days before Passover, Jesus went to Bethany where Lazarus had been, Lazarus whom he'd raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there. Martha waited on them, and Lazarus was among those at table. Mary brought in a pound of very costly ointment, nard, with it anointed the feet of Jesus, wiping them with her hair. The house was filled with the scent of the ointment. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the man who was eventually to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the common fund and used to help himself to the contents. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. You have the poor with you always. You will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large number of Jews heard that he was there and came not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. Then the chief priests decided to kill Lazarus as well, since it was on his account many of the Jews were leaving them and believing in Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Some years ago, I was a member of an evaluation team or an accreditation team representing the Western Association of Schools and Colleges, the normal accrediting agency for higher education in the Western United States. We went to a small evangelical college in Southern California and spent time there trying to work with the faculty, administration, faculty, staff, and students, as well as the various support groups, to see if it was time to give approval for a clean and clear accreditation for the next period of time. They'd struggled for a while with issues that related to an incomplete way of handling the sciences and so forth, not uncommon for all evangelical schools. In the context of our visit, I was to respond on behalf of the team for the religious studies programs as well as the student life programs because of the particular work I was doing at that time. I was immediately struck by the problem, the tension that I found within the context of the college that highlighted the fact that, on the one hand, they had a very conservative, traditional, fundamentalist support group to somehow impress in order to maintain funding, and on the other hand, they were trying to be academically sound to impress both students and outsiders alike that they were a legitimate, bona fide school of higher education. There was a constant conflict between the perennial problem with regard to the integration of this particular tradition into the life of the academy, when they were trying to discuss the problem or the tension that seems to exist between faith and reason, faith and good works. In the context of the discussion, I saw them very clearly outlining and illustrating all of the social justice, what we would call social justice programs, and saw how effective they were in serving the poor, in going to soup kitchens, in attending to issues of various kinds of problems in their area. On the other hand, I also saw that they had to approve a very traditional kind of clientele, both faculty, students, and, on the other hand, the supporters, the people who were the benefactors, the ones who made the money to keep the school in existence. There was a constant tension between faith and that traditional position of the evangelical or the fundamentalist that shows faith as the solitary means of gaining recognition by God through Jesus and eventually salvation, and good works, which in many ways was the way the secular society and even some within the religious community would evaluate the school. So a kind of inside-outside, almost town and gown kind of tension. In the discussions, I came across this particular reading, so coincidentally, reading for today's liturgy, John's Gospel, the first 11 verses of chapter 12. And there's a discussion there that highlights this tension in a very real way. And in my role as an evaluator was to see whether or not they had made any effort at trying to integrate these two ideas. When I asked them about their faith, the precepts of the faith, they answered very clearly, answered according to almost the script. When I asked them to demonstrate the relationship that they had with the outside community, particularly helping people who were in need, they also could point to a whole list of excellent service programs that involved the students. What they couldn't do, at least as far as I'm concerned, is point out the kind of click that exists between what we believe and what we do. And I don't think that's only their problem. I think we all face that problem again and again. I certainly have faced it myself in terms of higher education, in terms of dealing with students and their desire to learn on the one hand, and then to serve the poor or the less fortunate on the other. The issue seems to be that somehow people who are involved in this tension can't get off one side or the other. Either you say we're a believing community and almost ignore the fact that you're involved in social justice, or at least don't link it to the faith, and on the other hand, be very much involved in the community of justice and not speak so much about faith as a rationale for doing what we do, that is, doing good works, performing good works, and serving people who are deserving of service and come to us because we appear to have more than they do in a given situation. When I talk to the people on the university or the college community, they simply said, when I pointed this out, they simply said, we just don't do it. We either talk faith to one community and justice to another community, and we don't feel the need, the practical need, unite them. And if there's any unity between those two, it comes on the part of the students themselves through their own life experience. It seems to me that, once again, we have that same kind of a problem. On the one hand, we have no trouble realizing that we have a responsibility to reach out from ourselves and to see if we can't be of service to people who need that service. And on the other hand, we also feel that we need to work on our faith. We need to spend time within the context of that faith, getting ready for the task which God gives us through our Christian commission, through our life of baptism. Right now we're involved in Holy Week, and Holy Week is that time when we focus very specifically on what Jesus did for us so that we could be free to serve others in his name. That's a huge problem for us because, once again, we tend to get sidetracked by being prayerful on the one hand and helpful on the other, and we don't seem to feel a need to tie the two together. As Catholic Christians, we, of course, have committed ourselves the concept that there is an intimate and an essential relationship between what we believe and how we live, and that if we do believe, we will live a certain way, and that life will be identifiable by having us look at what we've done, how we've served, and how we continue to serve. The hope is, of course, that as people see how we live and how we serve, they will be able to reflect back through us the faith that gives us, that animates our work and animates our lives. This integration between faith and good works is something that was a biblical problem, it's an ecclesial problem, and it's a personal problem for us today. There has to be time for us to integrate the two, and no one will do it for us. What the church does is lay out the general principles of the discussion. We have lots of scriptural references to helping the poor, to serving the little ones. And on the other hand, we have plenty of evidence to know that we have to work at deepening our faith, at knowing the Lord better, and presuming that as we know the Lord better, we come to love better, and then we serve more effectively. So the answer, the solution that we propose, is that there's an essential integration between what we believe and how that belief works itself out in our daily lives, and that we will be known by how we live. We will be known about in our service to the poor, in our service on behalf of the community. We will be known as believing people who are driven by that belief in the service of others. And somehow that little click, that connecting point, it lets us see how essential the faith is to the success and the value of works, and how essential works, effective works, are to us deepening our faith. That integration is really at the heart of what we do as Christians. How do we become mature Christians? Basically, what we do as mature Christians is recognize the essential relationship between the two. I am a believer, and my faith manifests itself in my service to the poor. I serve the poor, and I continue in that service with a certain amount of joy and success because of what I believe. Jesus is the par excellence teacher. Jesus believed he was called by the Father. Jesus believed that he had come into the world to lead us to joy, lead us to happiness, lead us to peace, and manifested his recognition of what he was commissioned to do by living a life that was absolutely marked by its generosity and its selflessness in terms of the needs of others. Jesus lived, died, so that we could both deepen our faith and then respond with that deep faith to the needs of the others. How that is taught from one generation to the next, I don't know all the answers, but I do know that it won't last very long. That is, a peaceful, happy life, a successful institution, or whatever we're talking about, it won't last very long if the integration doesn't happen. I need to pray so that I can serve. And as I serve, I need to go back to my prayer in order that it would animate what I do, so that it takes on a special flavor, a special hue. That's what Jesus asks us to do in the scriptures today. That's what Jesus asks us to do during Holy Week, to get ourselves ready to walk into the drama of Jesus' service as it reaches its pinnacle. And it reaches that pinnacle and somehow touches all of us because of that common faith, that faith that we have, that God calls us in baptism to serve and serve because of our faith. Blessings in this Holy Week as you join the rest of the Christian community and trying to figure out just how this integration takes place.